One with this.
There we go. Okay. Well, anyway, I spoke to you a few weeks ago about attitudes and how your attitudes are contagious. And then the last time I spoke to you is about how we can be a difference in others. And today, I want to talk to you how people watch you, and you are an influence to others, even if you don't know it. So as we get ready to get started, I'm going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have a short video, and then I'm going to get right into the message. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your presence here today to be with us. May your spirit bless each and every one of us here today. And may we be totally changed because you are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's different than leadership. It's more exact. It's more surgical. It's used in a measured manner. When you see it happening, most people can recognize it. To affect the behaviors, the actions, the thoughts, and the ideas of others.
You know it when you're surrounded by the right people, because you see the benefits of those influences and you see how they impact your career and your personal life and how they take you to the next level.
The ability to influence or inspire people is probably the most critical factor of being an effective leader.
It's about relationships. That's the influence piece, and that's how leadership works, in my opinion. That's how you get things done.
How you handle certain situations, how you react in certain situations, people are watching those things. The higher up you go, the more people are watching.
If you don't display that behavior or display the passion, you're not going to have the ability to influence or inspire people to do the same.
The bottom line is you got to nurture the relationships to have the influence.
You'll never know it all. You'll never see it all. You learn something new every day. But what you do bring to the table, the experience, you've got to share that with the younger firefighters.
They have to value what you're trying to impart, and they have to see the benefit to them as an individual or as a group.
If you don't have a relationship with your people, and you can't influence them, you're not really leading anybody.
The more you surround yourself with the folks that are impacting change in the organization, they're gonna help you to be a better influencer as you move forward.
There's never a contract, there's never a verbal agreement. You're never made aware of who's watching you and what they're taking in.
We need to be more like tour guides and say, listen, come on a trip I've been on. Let me show you the past. Let me show you what you need to see. Let me show you what to steer away from.
When it's all said and done, and the dust settles, and a person comes back to you later on down the road and says, hey, you know, I couldn't have gotten through that without you. And I want you to know how much it meant to me that you stuck with me through that, or you were willing to work with me to get to where I'm at today.
Pretty interesting that firefighters use this to train firefighters. It wasn't about all the effort that you have to do, how physical you have to become, because fighting a fire is very physical. It wasn't about climbing ladders. It wasn't about carrying the hoses. And I'll never forget one time as a little kid. Have you ever held onto a fire hose? Have you ever held onto a fire hose? So I know why they did this looking back, but at the time I didn't know why they did it. So when I was a little kid growing up, about 100 yards from my house, it's probably more like a quarter mile from my house, there was a fire station. And sometimes I would go down there and it'd be like 5:30 in the morning and they weren't awake, but they had an alarm, a bell out front. And sometimes I thought, maybe they should be awake. And I would go out there and ring that thing, and I'd ring that thing and it all come out running. Boy, quit doing that. And then there was other times they had this Coke machine in the front. And I was just a kid. I didn't have any money. But I learned something about that Coke machine. I used to carry this bottle opener on the front of my bike, tied to my bike, in a cup. And I learned I could go up to that Coke machine, take the bottle opener, pop it open, hold my cup there, and drink the Coca-Cola from it. Well, after a few days, the firemen couldn't, they wouldn't get a drink because all the front ones were empty. And they go, it was that little kid down the road, he just tore around. So one day there's a fire over at this farm not far away. And they said, come here, you want to hold the hose? Yeah. I got on the front of the hose, and at first it wasn't bad because there was a couple firefighters right behind me. But guess what? When they stepped off the hose and let go, what happened to this little kid about this tall with a fire hose with all that pressure? I was going, I mean, I was flying all over the place. Now, they probably could have gotten severe trouble, but this is years ago when we didn't fuss and fight with people so much. But I guess my negative influence created my environment, yes. But you know what? People are watching you more than you know. You can study this Bible day and night. You can share the Bible with others. But then if you don't show the love of Jesus, you don't carry the love of Jesus, they're not going to follow you. So where do we start that our influence can make a difference on those around us? You know, where do you start with a building? At the foundation. And this is one thing I never understood with Mr. Hoy. I would be out building a building somewhere, and then one day, he would send me to one of his friend's house to crawl underneath the foundation because they had an issue. I'm like, Mr. Hoy, why do I have to go do this job? I do all this other stuff for you. Why did I go have to crawl in their house and shore up his foundation? He said, Charles, when Mr. Myers, who owned Hilick Myers Furniture, I don't think you see him around anymore. He goes, but when Mr. Myers came to me, he goes, I want someone that's honest and has great integrity. And I go, well, how do you know I'm honest and have great integrity? He goes, Charles, it's seen in you. And I was impressed by that. I said, well, maybe I should lose some of that honesty and integrity so I don't have to crawl under people's houses anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying is, even when you don't realize it, people are watching you. One of the neatest stories I heard, this pastor who was pretty handy with his tools, was one day building a deck in his backyard. And this young man was watching him. He was thinking, why is this young man watching me build my deck when he could be out playing? And after a few minutes, he went over to the young man. Young man, are you trying to pick up pointers? And he goes, nope. He said, then why are you watching me? He goes, I wanted to see how a pastor reacts when he hits his finger with the hammer. Watching. They're watching you more than you know. Your young ones can watch you more than you know. And you'll make a major influence on them whether you're trying or not. So today, I do want to go back to our foundation just a little bit. And I want to ask you a few questions. How do you build a strong foundation? I never forget Dollar Tree was came up with this program about hanging these, what they call halos, in their stores. And the designer of these halos was from Canada. So they come down to teach us how to put them together, and they start hanging chains from the ceiling grid, and they start putting the tubing up there. And I looked at my brother Mark. I go, these guys are idiots. He goes, yeah, why are they building it that way? So while they were putting it together, me and Mark went over here and put another one together on the ground, and then we hung it over in another section of the store and came back over there, and 2 hours later they finally finished. And the guy from Dollar Tree, Jim Holyfield, goes, see, that's how it's built. And I go, oh, it's supposed to be built like that one in the back. And he goes, well, how did that one get up there? I go, because we put it up the way it should be put up. You start from the ground, and then you work your way up. It's amazing how certain people think you can start at different places. But the best place to start your Christian walk is in the foundation, isn't it? With Jesus Christ. But a lot of people won't go to Jesus Christ if they don't see Jesus Christ in you first. There's a lot of people searching. They don't want to go to something that they're not sure of if it's not reflected very strongly, do they? They do not want to. But if you show Jesus Christ in a mighty way, and I'm not talking about when you see him, you start preaching the word to him to convict him and change them. That's not what they want. They want to see Jesus Christ in you. When Jesus came to the disciples, how did he change them? How did he change them? Did he tell them unless they were born again right from the beginning? Did he tell them that? He never told them that. It was by walking with him, seeing his love and his compassion for others. It was through all the experiences they had with Jesus Christ that they became changed. You can have golf. Golf is the most overtaught, underlearned sport there is. Most overtaught, underlearned sport there is. I think it's second to Christianity. I really do. I think Christianity is the most overtaught, underlearned form of religion. Because you can't just teach Christianity. You can't just say there's a 10-step road to being a Christian. Those firefighters actually had it right. What were some of the things they said? A relationship. An experience. Show them the journey that you've been on. Those firefighters had it right for a Christian church. Everything they said in that made a lot of sense to me. And I watched a lot of Christian videos, and the one that made the most sense to me was the firefighters. They had the best experience I think you could have to show a Christian walk with Jesus Christ. It never talked about how hard they had to train the guys. It never talked about anything else but about the relationships, show them where you come from and where you're going, and all those different things. So how do we build a strong foundation? Can God be trusted? Can God be trusted? Someone tell me why God can be trusted. If a person laid down his life for you, do you think he can be trusted? I would say yes. If someone said they were willing to lay down their life for me, I would be totally entrusted to that person. I'll never forget this little kid. His sister had to have a blood transfusion. And her little brother was the only one, really, that they had a match for. And her little brother was told, hey, your sister needs some blood, and that you're the one that needs to give it to her. But no one told the little boy that he wasn't going to die from this. So when he laid on the bed beside her to give his blood, he thought all his blood was going to be taken out and he was going to pass away. And he started crying. They said, why are you crying? He goes, well, I'm not going to see you anymore. They go, no, Joe, you're not going to die. You're just going to help your sister live. But yet Joey, right there, thought he was giving up his life for his sister. I think little Joey could be trusted. So if Jesus Christ can give up his life for you, I think he can be trusted. Does God deliver? Let me tell you something. I shared this with David, and I shared it with my wife. Last Friday, it could have been the worst last couple hours of the day for me, or it could be the best couple hours of the day for me. And I knew all through the day, as time was lingering, I said, oh, God, am I going to have to stay here late tonight because everything's going to fall apart? Or am I going to be able to leave on time because you're going to take care of everything? I left at 5 o'clock, right on time. You know why? Because God delivers. Let me tell you some amazing things. In the city of Miami, on a Friday, they do not open up the office for plant inspections because they're out in the field until noontime, and then they close. And I had a job that had to start Monday morning. See, we report to the stock market. If our jobs don't start on time and open on time, our stock numbers don't look good. So every one of us as project managers have it's pressure packed because we got to open on time. They're always closed on Friday. If you don't get your plans done on Thursday, it doesn't happen until Monday, which means I wouldn't have started until Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Well, this one guy was going to take Monday off, and he decided to review the Dollar Tree drawings. I don't know how many he had in front of him, but he decided to review the Dollar Tree drawings. And by 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, he sent out an email. Well, it was actually 4:45. He sent out an email. drones are approved, Dollar Tree can come pick up the permit Monday morning. God delivers. Okay, that's one job. You were lucky. He was taking Monday off too. I got another job north of Miami, about 2.5 hours in Eagle Lake, Florida. Got to start Monday morning. It was a Family Dollar that we're turning into a Dollar Tree. Well, we had the lease with Family Dollar, so it shouldn't be hard to turn it over to Dollar Tree. No, there's a term in there. If that building needs a sprinkler system, then the lease changes. This is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I called the building inspector, and I go, the fire marshal is holding up our plans because we're not sure in the lease if we're going to have a sprinkler system. And the building official goes, well, you shouldn't have to have one because the building's existing. I go, yes, but I said, we can't get through the lease. And I said, you said you won't give him our permit until he releases it. And they usually go, okay, well, we'll see what he says when he gets to it. Right after I hung up the phone with him, that building official sent the fire marshal an email. You know, Dollar Tree wants to start Monday morning. And you haven't told them if they need a sprinkler system or not. And he goes, they want to start Monday. He goes, I can get it done next Wednesday, Thursday. He goes, that's going to hurt them. He goes, they want to start Monday morning. Fire marshal said, look, that building's been there a long time. He said, tell them they don't need a sprinkler system. At 10 minutes to 5, the lease got signed. I started Monday morning. It's not a coincidence. God delivers. There was one other thing that happened that day that God delivered, and it all happened just minutes before 5, and I had prayed earlier, God, I want to leave here at 5 o'clock, and it's in your hands. God does deliver. Does God care? Does God care for you? He cares for you each and every day. He loves you with everything. And everything we just talked about, with Jesus giving up his life for you. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only son. So God does care for you. So how is your foundation today? Is your foundation on Jesus Christ? Or is your foundation on what this world has for you? You know, I get caught up in the world. I'm no different than any one of you. Especially, it can be seen if we're playing softball. Dave makes me get competitive. I don't know why. I try to control myself, but I do let the competitive nature sometimes get the best of me. Especially when an official makes a dumb call. And they make some dumb calls. We all sometimes show cracks in our foundations. For years after I built the Chesapeake Zed Name in his church, nobody ever some people kept wondering why I always parked in the back corner of the parking lot. Well, the one thing I didn't tell them when I built it is in the back corner of the church, we lost a dozer. It just sank out of sight. Sank out of sight. It was like quicksand in one corner. It took 2 300-ton cranes and 3 excavators to come dig that thing out. When I filled the hole back in, it was 24 loads of sand. You know why I parked in that corner every Sabbath? So I could walk down that sidewalk, look over at the corner of the church, and make sure I didn't see a crack. Because that corner of that church always worried me. But, you know, I took a lot of effort to make sure I would never see a crack. And I tell you, when I go over there on Monday nights for basketball, every now and then I'll pull over into Chesapeake Church and look. Okay, no cracks. As Christians, do we pay attention to the cracks in our life? Do we focus on just what's going on in our life, or do we ever pay attention to the little cracks, the little signs of where we might be breaking? The best way to make sure your foundation is strong is to be connected. Anybody here have LGs that you wear around your neck? Anybody have LGs? You know, I wear them when I'm driving so that I can... I wear them when I'm driving so I can hear my directions and they're not running through the system. And it's hands-free so I can pay attention. I'm not looking down at my phone. Because being connected doesn't mean you're always looking at your phone. And let me tell you something else about being connected. Me and my wife have this rule, you can't even pick up your phone at the dinner table. But how many people have you seen out to dinner, and all they do, they're both in front of each other. Not until the food comes do they ever put the phone down. Have you seen that? Sometimes it's best to be disconnected to get connected. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes it's better to be disconnected to get connected. And I'm going to tell you what, you go to lunch today. There'll be 15 tables in there with two people doing this. They even have a commercial, I don't know if you remember this, where a couple broke up. They were sitting in front of each other by the cell phone. One says, I'm not going to date you anymore. And he goes, why? And they never even make eye contact. They did it on their cell phone. That's what our world's like today. We're so connected that we're actually disconnected with those around us. Are we like that as Christians? Are we so connected in our work, in our finances, in our house, in the Dallas Cowboys, that we're not connected with the world around us? I mean, I do see some reason why you would wear a Dallas Cowboys shirt, because if you take it off and put it on the hood of your car, you can park in the handicapped spot. So there is advantages to being a Dallas Cowboy fan. There are advantages. Sit down, Dave. But do we get disconnected from God because we're so connected in this world? Do we do that? I hope we don't, but I know that this world has so much to offer. Sometimes we can get very easily disconnected. And I love what my LGs do when I put them on and I put it in my ear. I was going to bring it here and put it in my mic, but I decided not to. But it first says, power on, battery high, connected. You know what? Every morning when a Christian wakes up, because they're in Jesus Christ, it should say, power on, battery high, connected. Connected to the bloodline that saves, changes, influences, and makes a difference in someone else's life. They don't want to know what you know in the Bible. They want to know how you use what you know in the Bible in your daily walk with Jesus Christ. So many times, Adventists first want to teach somebody about the health message and the seventh-day Sabbath. But yet, all through the week, they're cutting somebody else off in their vehicle, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, or they're not even being the best of friends. Nobody's going to care what you teach them if you can't show them. No one's going to care what you can teach them if you can't show them. And you can't show them if you're not connected to the life source of Jesus Christ. If you would, turn with me to John 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. What is Jesus Christ saying there? Yeah, if you're in this world, you're going to have all kinds of trouble. If you're in this world, the trouble is going to consume you. But he goes, I have defeated this world. And if you're in me, you will know what victory is all about. Is that what you want today, is victory? Victory in Jesus Christ? Now turn with me to Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. What does it say? What does it say right there? So the body of Christ may be built up. So we're to build and encourage the body of Christ. Is the body of Christ only the people in this room today? It is not. The body of Christ is everyone you come in contact with. If you see an elderly person come to the front door, but you're in a rush and you know they're going to struggle with that front door, what is something that you can do that won't take much effort, but it'll be a major help? Hold the door. It's little things like that that show that you're in Jesus Christ, that you're connected to Jesus Christ. Until we reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, what does that mean? All of us are on a different journey, aren't we? All of us are on a different journey. We travel at different paces and at different times. I actually wish there was a young person here today because I was going to ask him to come up. I wanted him to share a couple things with you. He's young at heart and he's young in age, but he knows what he needs to do. Attaining the whole measure of fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there and by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by everything supporting ligaments, grows and builds itself in the love, and each part does its work. So each and every one of us here are to be a part of the body of Christ. And what does Matthew say about salt? What are you to be? Salt of the earth. And if you lose that saltiness, what happens? You know, there's a lot of strong Christians in knowledge, that have lost their saltiness. I hope you haven't lost your saltiness. I hope you're the flavor of your neighborhood, the flavor of your work environment, the flavor everywhere you go, and that they see in you, are influenced by you to want to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our praise and worship team to come forward as we close.
Thank you, Charles, for a really, that's a poignant message that we all need to take away, and it's an excellent message, and I'm going to be self-effacing for a moment. You know, we do influence people, and we don't, sometimes we realize it, and sometimes we don't, and one way we influence in our own community, our church community, is to do worship and praise. And for me, my background, I just share very, very briefly. I sang with a band, rock and roll, for a while. So this is a very different venue for me. And it's a privilege to be able to lead our community in worship. And we always want to make that experience very real and let God just work through us to help, you know, the others that we are rubbing shoulders with to know him better. And may we all up here be a good example of what that looks like. So as we close with a final song, would everybody just, we're inviting you to stand up and worship and just open your heart.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's true. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
So what good is it if you have everything this world has to offer, but you do not have Jesus? It's no good at all. Today, as you leave this place, grab hold of Jesus. Get connected. Influence others because Jesus is influencing you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath day. For your word. We thank you for being our Lord and our Savior and our very best friend. We ask that you would draw close to each and every person here today. May your spirit be filled within them. And may they influence others for you. Because Jesus Christ is our Lord. year. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with God's blessings. See you next week.